Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready to go into the glory? I mean, you're really ready, anxious for it, looking forward to it, pressing into it. We're right moving in right now. Are you ready for the word? Go to Psalm 24. And this ought to just line up perfectly where we're at tonight. Psalm 24, are you there? Verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. We see here that the one that's going to go into the hill with the Lord, which I believe is into the glory. I believe when you go into the hill with the Lord, you do like Moses did. You go on Mount Sinai, you go into the glory. And it says four steps to go in. To have clean hands, a pure heart, not allow your soul to be lifted up. Remember we taught on your soul being lifted up? Nor swearing deceitfully. That would be lying, fraudulent activity. And he says, he is the one going into the glory of God. Now we understand there's more than that, but here God lists four doors. Four doors to go into the glory. He says, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. I want the blessing of God. Not because I just want a natural blessing, you know, I just want golden surroundings. I want the presence of God is what I want more than anything else. Everything else on top of the presence of God is just icing on the cake. Amen. But the blessing includes meeting every need you have, both physically, spiritually, and naturally. Right? Mentally and naturally. And righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob Selah. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Now we did a series here. You know, last month, a couple months ago, on these doors or gates we go through to step into the blessing of God. And we listed eight of them, although there may be 20. What we found is you've got to be saved, you've got to learn how to live by faith, you've got to be a seed sower, you've got to have the right confession, you've got to forgive others, go to church, you follow me. And so we found that if we'll go through those gates, we can step into God's blessing. If we'll learn how to activate these doors, in other words, access what the doors provide, we can walk in the fullness of the power, blessing, and love of God. Thank you, Jesus. But God says, once you go through the gates, once you go through the doors, then you become a gate. Now, this morning we started off church service with a verse dealing with how the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. The kingdom of God is in us. Remember that? And as we go through the gates, we go through into the blessing of God, but also going through those gates allows God's power, love, and blessing to flow through us. And you become a gateway between heaven's blessing and earth's demand. You become the source of supply, the source of resolution, a source of deliverance, whatever, on behalf of humanity. God's supply to your life, to the earth. In other words, we can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. We're a source of healing. As we prosper, oh, glory to God, we're able to supply the needs of so many people and so many demands, especially within, you know, the kingdom of God's development processes. And so, we're endeavoring to become God's gateways. And he said, lift up your heads, O you gates. Now, why does he say lift up your heads? Because he needs you to see above the natural. See above your current challenges and little, you know, small fire situations. And to look beyond and realize God has a much greater plan for your life. How many believe the glory of God's coming to the earth in the end times? Many of you do, right? I mean, the Bible talks about it repeatedly. is prophetically declared. James talks about it coming. And it talks about God's coming back, Jesus coming back for a glorious bride. The glory is not just going to descend upon earth because a cloud opens up and here comes the glory. The glory is coming through these gateways. And we are given the opportunity to be these gates. And if you can see it and then build your faith for it, you can produce it. And I believe even now we're moving in. I mean, miracles taking place left and right. Karen's testimony, Jean's testimony. God is using sold out people that seek His face to pour His power through. Now, we spent some time looking at the topic of gates and doors and different ones that we need to go through, but I want to take a step further this morning and just look at some discussion of gateways and doors in the Scriptures. So, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1. Let's go to verse 20. It says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets." Now stop right there. Wisdom is crying in the streets. Wisdom is declaring truth. Now, if we really study out this, there's actually about four Proverbs here in a row that talk about wisdom. And you find out that wisdom is the principal thing. It's the chief thing. And the role of wisdom is the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. See, we talk about people having natural wisdom. And maybe they can resolve situations. They can repair things. They can build bridges or whatever, or, you know, do surgery. And they might be declared to have natural wisdom. Or they're good problem solvers. But there's a spiritual wisdom that transcends natural wisdom. And spiritual wisdom is having the Word of God in you and the Spirit of God leading you by that Word. Amen. And when you have spiritual wisdom, it supersedes all the ability that natural wisdom can produce. Amen. And so it says, wisdom's crying out. The Spirit of God's calling on people even now to come to God. And those that are saved, He's crying out, come and learn of the kingdom of heaven. Learn how to apply yourself to the things of the Spirit. Right? And it goes on and it says, verse 21, "She crieth in the chief place," meaning the number one place of concourse, "in the openings of the gates in the city she uttereth her voice." Wisdom is crying at the gateways. Now, we mentioned this before in our teaching on the gates. Does everybody remember the gateway teachings? Should. It hadn't been very long ago, right? And we discovered that for a person that has a relationship with God, that actually prays, when you get in the Word or you pray, often the Spirit of God is going to convict you of things you need to adjust in your life. And my experience has been, it's probably about a 9-to-1 ratio of change versus, okay, you're doing great. Amen. Now, God will tell you you're doing great, but I tell you what, He tells me a whole lot more often. Here's some things you need to work on. And it's not like a rebuke. It's more like, hey, if you want to go to the next level, you can adjust this, or don't let this slip because you don't want to lose what you already have. And the Spirit of God is always tweaking you. Let me think of the right example of tweaking something. My wife. I didn't mention her this morning. I could do double duty tonight. Is a thermostat tweaker. Me, I can set it somewhere and offer it. It can be there for days. Not Patty. I feel a little hot. Better turn it down. Feeling cool. Turn it up. And she's got about a half a degree variance between comfort and discomfort. So thermostat's always between 69 and 71 and is tweaking back and forth. She says sometimes 72. Just like this. Me, I can be like this. She's like this. Small band of variance there on her temperature. She's always tweaking it, making adjustments. Well, that's what the Spirit of God does with us. See, I was comparing you to the Holy Spirit. He's always making adjustments in our life. You know, you're starting to cool off here. Let's turn you up a bit. Oh, you're getting, you know, a little out of control over there. Let's dial you back. And even in your what you're speaking, how you're treating other people, how you're acting, there's all these adjustments, all these bands of adjustments. The Spirit of God's always got you tweaking. Is that true for you as well, or is this just me? Can anybody help me this morning or tonight? Glory to God. And so what I've discovered is virtually all the tweaking the Holy Spirit does in my life always deals with a gateway. Remember, one of the gateways was seed? Got to deal with you. What you're sowing? Where's your seed level? Where's your faith for that? Now, tithing should be just said. You should be tithing automatically. You shouldn't have to have the Holy Spirit convict you on that. It should be a constant thing. If not, you know, then I will guarantee you, if you're going after God, He's talking to you about that. But forgiveness, He'll be talking to you about that gateway. How are you? How's your attitude toward people that have wronged you in the past? Your faith level, He'll be tweaking that. In fact, I'm convinced where it says the Spirit of God or wisdom crieth at the gates, we can apply that to when He's speaking to us, is to get us through a gateway in our walk with Him to access more of the blessing of God. Did you follow that? In other words, he's not convicting you to make you miserable or to make you some perfect puppet that He can dance all around. See how I control them? He's trying to get you through a gateway. And if He can get you through the gateways, then you get to be a gate to the world on behalf of God. Thank you, Jesus. See, I believe you already are a gateway to some level. Jean talked about the person being healed as she prayed and two people being saved. She's seen people saved all the time. Well, she's a gateway of salvation to the world. And you guys have prayed for people. Casey was sharing with you this morning. He prayed for somebody that got healed. Is that right? Your vehicle got healed. Well, there was a story before that, though, you told me. Oh, well, I don't remember. Must be the vehicle. But God's doing miracles. And more, the world is finding out about what you're doing by faith. You're a gateway of the reality of God to the world. And so she crieth in the chief places. She's at the gates, saying, look at verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. The Spirit of God is revealing the Word of God to you of the gateways we need to go through to access the full blessing of God. Do you see that? Go over to Proverbs 8. Verse 1, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the past. Now let me stop right there for just a minute. It says, wisdom has a personality. She crieth at these chief places, right? Well, if you talk to the world about wisdom, and they're thinking about natural wisdom, they never think about wisdom crying. They just think, hey, I solved this problem. Hey, this was the logical, obvious conclusion to this situation. But here we see wisdom has a personality, or wisdom has a voice. And of course, that is the result of the Holy Spirit uttering to us God's will for our lives and for our situations, right? So wisdom's crying out. We just need people to dial to the right wavelength. You know, a lot of Christians believe that we can't hear God. It's impossible for man to hear God. And I'm thinking, if I can't hear God, I've been on the wrong track for 33 years. Because He's speaking to me a lot. He's speaking to me every single day without exception. Something. If nothing else, if I don't hear the voice of God, which normally I don't hear as often, I'm hearing the convicting voice of God within, wisdom crying from within, the Spirit of God leading from within. Amen. And so it's not that God's not speaking. People are dialed into the wrong station. They're dialed into what they hear with the natural ear versus what they hear within, versus the Spirit of God. You know, something that amazes me, and really it's beyond my mental comprehension. But right now, going through this room, through this sanctuary, is channel 18, channel 27, channel 36, channel 56, and was it 42 now? Not only that, each of them have side bands where now it's 27.1, 27.2, 18.1.2, you know, all these other, it's 27.3, 56 has got a bunch of them. 42 has a whole group of stations connected to it. And if you have the right antenna and the right tuner, you can tune in these channels and watch them. At the same time, going through this room are about 1,000 DirecTV channels, another 1,000 Dish Network channels, umpteen radio stations, including WJMM and K-Love, all going through here right now. Not to mention at least 3 at any time GPS satellite signals of the 10 GPS satellites going around the earth. Is it 10? That are going through right now, but you don't pick it up. But if you bring a GPS unit, put it by the window, it's going to pick it up. You get a radio receiver, it's going to pick it up. TV receiver, DirecTV, Dish Network, whatever, you can pick it up and tune into those precise channels. Can you imagine if we went back 100 years ago and said, yes, someday there will be thousands of programs, video programs. They couldn't even comprehend a video program 100 years ago. Do you follow me? I mean, this is a new thing, a video signal. We'd say there's thousands of high-def video signals going through. They'll be going through the rooms. They would think you were crazy. And if you could bring somebody from the past into the future and say, right now there are thousands of signals going through here, they would think you were crazy. Until you got a receiver, it can show them what actually is here all the time. It's here all the time. Just until we get the right receiver, we're not tuned into it. I believe God's always speaking to us. His voice is always available. We've just got to recognize we're the receiver and tune into it. Now, in my house, I have DirecTV. And so, you may not have DirecTV in your house. Maybe you have Dish Network or local cable, but I have DirecTV. And there's a chance I might have a few stations you don't have. And because at the station, you can come to my house and dial in what you may not be able to get at your house. Do you follow me? And vice versa, you may have stations I don't. In other words, well, actually, I do now. I do have MeTV now. And get TV and all that. I finally got an antenna that receives at my house in Frankfurt. The point I want to make is, you may have an antenna or receiver that's able to bring in these stations. And somebody can come and receive from you and watch those stations. But you also are the gateway to God's programming network. And if people want to hear from God, they can get near you and you can hear from God for on their behalf. You can speak what God is saying at any moment in time. Think about the power of the prophetic right now. That there are men and women of God operating in the prophetic offices that are declaring what's coming down the road for America, for the world, for the church. What are they? They're acting as a receiver of God's signal. Wisdom's crying at the gates. And God's just looking for some people that will be hungry enough to become a receiver. Amen? And when you become a receiver, you can hear God for yourself, but you can hear and have an influence on all of your surroundings. Amen. Verse 3. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. The sons of man. We're the sons of man. Sons and daughters of the Most High God, right? God says, I call unto them. And we get to be the gateways people experience God through. What an honor. I mean, what an honor. The God of creation wants to use you as His ambassador, as His spokesman, as the one He demonstrates His glory through. Go over to verse number 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of the door. I believe somebody that truly recognizes their role as a gate is listening daily. And you're staying at that place of being able to hear and respond to the voice of God. And those that do that, because there's not many people that position themselves for that, God's about to use to radically shift the world. Would you like to be used for that? Again, think about the God of creation wants to use you as His spokesman, as His emissary. Isaiah 26. Wow, I've got about 30 scriptures here. We've made it through two. Isaiah 26, verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Here it says salvation will be our walls. You understand once you get saved and you stay in right standing with God, there's a hedge about your life to some level. And now you're within the walls of God that you have access to the blessing of God. That before you were saved, you were outside the walls. You were pretty much exempted from the blessing of God. He says in verse 2, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Open the gates. Go through the gates. Open yourself as a gate. And I said, the righteous nation that keepeth truth may go in. Now, first of all, we recognize as saints, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As the church, we are a righteous nation. But he also says here, he puts another requirement on it, another gateway, that keepeth truth. Now, if you've been here very long, you've heard me declare that the most important thing a Christian can do, even a non-believer, is to honor and select truth. Because when you reject truth and you say, I'd rather grab a hold of this untruth. I'd rather grab a hold of this area of unbelief. I'd rather not walk in the truths of the Word. When you do that, you open yourself up to deception. Did you ever wonder how so many politicians can lie through their teeth so easily and keep smiling and feel like everything's fine? But they've told so many lies in their campaigns, so many lies from their positions, they actually get to the point they can no longer tell what is truth. And they begin to believe the deceptive lies they've been telling. So if you want to be a Christian that can actually be an effective gateway, you've got to select truth for your life. Integrity is of paramount importance. And you've got to refuse deception, slyness, chicanery. You've got to be a person that chooses to be a person of integrity and truth. Verse 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You cannot be a gateway unless you're a person of faith. You've got to believe that a supernatural, invisible God is going to move through your life. That takes faith. And it says, when you trust in God and you trust in His Word, you become a candidate for a supernatural peace to come on your life. One of the benefits of being in the perfect will of God. By the way, you cannot have perfect peace and not be in the will of God, or at least pursuing the will of God. Why? Because the knowledge that you're resisting God will steal your peace. Not to mention you open doors to all kinds of spirits of confusion and frustration. It says whose mind is stayed on the... Actually, on the is italicized. It just means your mind is stayed. It's fixed. It's not moving. You remember in James? Well, turn to James. Hold this spot. Turn to James. James chapter 1. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, wisdom's the principal thing, right? It's crying out at the gates. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Why? Because the Spirit of God is always crying out truth. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You're never going to wear out God asking for truth, asking for wisdom. You know, God's not going, well, you asked me for wisdom yesterday. You've asked me for wisdom 5 straight days. I'm not giving any more. The only time God may say, I'm not giving anymore, is when He says, you haven't done anything I've already given you. It was like when I was asking God to hear His voice more clearly. And He said, give up Tennessee football. Remember that story? And I kept hearing it over and over again. Finally, He said, you're not going to hear anything else till you give up Tennessee football. What happened? I wasn't listening to the wisdom He was giving me. So He had to finally say, this is as far as you're going till you answer that one. However, we have a right to ask God for wisdom without limitation. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. See, as long as you don't have your mind stayed, fixed, immovable, it will be tossed about. And you won't have peace. But you know, if you're going to anchor a boat in the water, you got to have something to anchor to. Right? I mean, you can tie up at a port, you can tie to an island, you can tie with an anchor in the bottom of the ocean, but you got to have something fixed to tie to. And for our mind to actually be stayed, it must be fixed on a promise of God in the Scriptures. The way you fix your mind is you have a need and you find a Scripture that promises and you say, okay, I believe I received this promise. By His stripes I was healed. No plague nor calamity shall come near my dwelling. And you fix your mind and you stay on that and you don't move off of that. Now, no matter, and because you're anchored to it, no matter what storms come by and try to tell you that you're going to die, it's not going to work, you've already fixed your mind on the Word and you will have peace. May not always be peace in your mind, but you'll have it in your heart. Because you've locked onto the one thing that cannot be moved, and that's the eternal Word of God. Do you see that? So He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Word of God. And to be an effective gateway, you must have a life of faith connected to the Word. Amen. In fact, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Go to Isaiah. Let's go these in order. Isaiah chapter 60. Hopefully I'll get where I want to go. Isaiah 60. Now hopefully I don't stretch you too far in some of these analogies I'm making or these connections I'm making to gates. We're not trying to stretch the Word. We're just trying to use it to apply these teachings in our life. Did you catch that? Don't ask me to say it again. I don't know if I could. Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. We know this passage, don't we? For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Praise God, God's bringing his glory to the church. This is a prophecy to the church. It's not for the end time millennial reign of Christ, because there won't be any gross darkness then. This is for now. And you don't have to look very far to see gross darkness. Amen. Pastor Callahan brought this out yesterday, that many people are talking about there could be a war rise in America. He says, what kind of battle would that be? This I've seen, this, he was quoting something posted. One side has the guns and one side doesn't know what bathroom to use. That's confusion. Amen. And so the glory is coming on his church. Verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. My goodness. Here's our harvest coming in. Lift up thine eyes. Remember, lift up your eyes. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Here we sit here. Lift up your eyes. Round about. See beyond. See what's possible. And see, all they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then shalt thou see and flow together. There's covenant. And thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The force of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Now let me jump over to verse number 11, talking about all this harvest of souls coming in. Verse 7 says, I will glorify the house of my glory. Verse 11 says, therefore, thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces or wealth of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. Here God says regarding the church, the doors of the church will be open continually, so people can come in to get saved and bring in their gifts to the house of God. That's going to be an exciting time, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus. However, I want to just take this a step further, not trying to stretch the word too far. But God says your gates will be open continually, and I believe you as a gate will be open continually. You'll be going through the gates without restriction. Let me explain that for a minute. I've been in the glory. I've tasted of the glory. And I'm telling you, gates that normally, or doors that normally will hinder you from going through, whether it's, you know, sowing seed or walking in forgiveness or speaking the word, when you get into the glory, those things just fall open. You automatically forgive everybody in the glory. You just don't care anymore. You don't care what you possess. You're willing to give it away. You're going to be speaking what God said. The glory opens doors nearly automatically. So the doors that have held you back will be open continually, meaning you can continually go into the blessing and power and provision of God. But you as a gate will be open continually. And God can pour through you the glory, the love, the power, and the provision. My goodness. We're heading that direction. But see, right now, we have to go through these gates by faith. When the glory hits, it'll be easy. But right now, you got to choose by faith to realize, if I'll overcome this in my life, there's a blessing of God that will follow. I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. I know you've struggled to forgive some people as much as I have at times. There's some people I've forgiven multiple times, and there'll be a thought arise of what they did to you or how they took advantage of you, and you have to once again say, I forgive them in Jesus' name. You'll have to keep forgiveness in front of you, right? Otherwise, bitterness will result, and you can't afford that. So you've got to, by faith, realize, because it feels so good to hold a grudge. I mean, it feels so wonderful to be so self-righteous and so self-elevated, you can judge the other people. And to let that go, to let that feeling of goodness feel like, yes, they wronged me. I don't want to go to hell, Lord, but let it be a miserable trip on the way to heaven. Amen. That you got to believe, if you really work it and by faith forgive them and refuse to harbor those things they did and refuse that bitterness, you got to believe by faith that you're going through a door and blessings laid up for you because of that. Otherwise, you'll harbor it. And how many people have I counseled? I've done a lot of counseling over the years that would tell me what somebody did to them or what some people did, and they refused to let it go. And you'd say, well, you need to let that go. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Yeah, I do. You just spent 2 hours telling me what they did to you. I know every detail of it. Would you like to hear it back? Now it's time to let it go. Well, I just can't let it go. Well, they don't realize the blessing connected to letting it go and overcoming it by determination and by the word and by faith. Right? And so our gates will be open all of the time, and this is going to get easy. But right now, you've got to work it. Go to Isaiah 62. Are you getting anything out of this? Verse 10. Go through the gates. Prepare the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. You know, I believe what it's talking about here is God saying, I need somebody to carry the standard of the word, standard of my kingdom, through all opposition, going through the openings that are available and demonstrate this is the way, walk you in it. That's what Jesus did. Jesus came along and demonstrated. He lifted up a standard of love. And he says, here's what's happened if you'll follow these principles of the kingdom of heaven. So he carried the standard of the word through and said, I've gone through these gates. Now you follow me. Well, now we see Isaiah declaring that God declaring through Isaiah, he needs people to go through the gates, gather out the stones. What would that be like? Stumbling stones? Things people are tripping over? Wrong mindsets? You follow me? It's okay to hate people as long as you don't take revenge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Well, no, that's really not the full interpretation of the scriptures. And you got to be willing to take those stones out of the way and explain to people, this is a stumbling block in your life. Get it out of the way. And I'm going through these gates, and here's the standard of what God's doing in my life. Follow me. Let's go through. And so God even now is calling people to go through these gates. Go through the gates to become a gate. Now, you're already a gate, but the more gates you go through, the wider your gate, you as a gate, become wider open. And the more we have that you can pour out. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Matthew. I want to get somewhere. So let me try to speed it up some. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 13, Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate. That means a narrow gate, right? Tight gate. For wide is the gate that and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many be there which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, I believe it's not just one gate, it's a series of gates. You follow me? And the initial gate he's talking about is probably salvation. In other words, this is a straight gate to salvation. Jesus is the only way. Right? And many are choosing the broad way, doing it their way unto destruction. But once you get saved, there's other gates that follow that can get tighter and tighter to go through. And the more gates you go through, the more you're willing to press through and squeeze through these areas of resistance, the more stones you're willing to kick out of your way, the more the power of God, the blessing of God you step into, and more, the more you're qualified to act as a gateway yourself for God. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty in battle, right? Praise be to God. I feel the Holy Spirit. Song of Solomon. Let's see if you can find that one. Right before Isaiah. I just gave you a hint. Song of Solomon, chapter 12. No, they didn't write. There's only 8 chapters. We'll skip that one for now just because I don't want to take time to hunt it down. But what it says is, the beloved of the woman, which I believe represents the church in Song of Solomon, and the beloved is the Holy Spirit, shows himself at the window. God is trying to lure us unto him by giving us glimpses of himself. Here's what you can have. Here's what you can become. I'm showing you a glimpse of me. Now come and run unto me. You see that? Now let's shift. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. God has already done 9 plagues in Egypt. He told Moses to lead the people of Israel out of captivity. And now we're approaching the 10th plague, which was the death of the firstborn, right? And so God tells Moses, let's go to Exodus chapter 12. And let's go to verse 7 for the sake of time. And they shall take of the blood, that's talking about the blood of the lamb, and strike it upon the 2 side posts and upon the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat at. Now it's talking about applying the blood of the Passover lamb to the doorpost and the lintel of the house. Amen. And wherever the blood is applied to that door, the death angel could not come in and bring death of the firstborn in that house. And this blood applied to the doorpost is a representation of the blood of Jesus being applied to our lives, really to the gate of the temple of God or the tabernacle that lets us go through the door into salvation. Do you follow me on that? That through the blood we can go into Jesus. And so we see here the salvation is represented by a doorway or a gate. There's a gate of salvation we can go into that the blood gives us access to. But once you're inside, there's other doorways that exist. Now, let me go through these in order, or else I'll lose track of where I'm at. This is the doorway of salvation. Go to Exodus chapter 33. In fact, one of the points I want to make is I forget the number. Let me look real quick and just see how many. Because this really did kind of shock me a bit. Well, it wiped out my thing. I got to start over. The word door, not gate, not window, the word door in some form. Doorway, doorpost, doors. Appears in Scripture 239 times. We see here a whole, which is way more of the times than the word cross appears. Do you follow me? God has put emphasis on the word door in Scripture. When you read about the rebuilding of the temple, and you read about even David's temple or Solomon's temple, and you read about the temple that Ezekiel saw in a vision, it repeatedly starts talking about, and this door goes here, and this is next to that door, because God wants us to know there's doors that are involved in going into the glory of God. Do you see this? And so, Exodus chapter 30, is that where I said to go? Exodus 33. Let's go to verse number 9. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. Moses went through the door of the tabernacle. Now this is the Old Testament tabernacle, right? Which we're going to look at here in a minute, a little further, assuming we have time. And Moses went in. And the cloudy pillar, which was a representation of the presence of God, Shekinah presence of God, stood at that door. And Moses went in, but the other people went to their own door. You can go to your own door, you follow me, one you built, or you can go through the door that God has built. And their door of their house led into the world, from their home to the world, which is all that your homemade door is the best it can do. But God's door of the tabernacle led to the very presence and glory of God, and Moses chose to go through that door. Now, probably he's the only one that could go through that door. But it was because of what he did to qualify himself earlier than that. You follow me? And the presence of God dwelled at the door, the glory of God. If you want to move into the glory, you've got to deal with the doors. Not enough to say, I believe in Jesus. Not enough to say, well, I'm saved. There are requirements that are necessary to be qualified to go into the deep glory of God. Amen. Does anybody want to pay that price? Can you understand why maybe this place isn't packed full because not a lot of people want to pay the price? First of all, most people, most Christians heard this message, they'd be ready to walk out of here laughing. That's the craziest thing I ever heard. But you understand it. How is it you understand this message? Because wisdom crieth at the gates of your heart. And you know what is aligning with the Word and what is aligning with what you've already learned. And God can now take you a step deeper because you've stepped so far into this process. Now God can take you a step deeper. And He keeps wanting to take us from faith to faith and gate to gate and glory to glory. I did a teaching a couple years ago. I just ran across the notes here a day or so ago. Of critical decisions I believe I've made in my life that I believe has positioned me to be somewhat in the forefront of what God's doing in the world. As you have. Do you believe we're on a leading edge of what God's doing in the world? We may not be on the main point, but we're involved in this end time move of God. Maybe that's the best way to put it. Of critical decisions of where I would go to church, how I would forgive, how I would refuse to be offended, how it was so what God told me. And I've got probably 2 pages of steps God's taken me through over 33 years to get me positioned to go into the glory. And He's doing the same thing with you. And the decisions you make are not to be taken lightly. They're to realize there's critical doors I've got to go through, and what I choose right now will determine whether I go through this door right now or not. Now, God's a merciful God. You can always recover and go through later. But you probably won't be as advanced in it as you would have been had you chosen wisdom all the way through. The Spirit of God wants to accelerate our development. Are you guys following me tonight, or am I just kind of... Because we're getting kind of deep in there tonight. And the only way you're following me tonight is by the Spirit of God. I'm telling you. Exodus 36. Yes, here's where I want to go. And I don't know if I have time to finish this or not. We can always finish it next week. Exodus chapter 36. Talks about the making of the tabernacle. Now, do you remember the Old Testament tabernacle? There was an outer court, right, where all the Jewish people could come and bring their sacrifices. And then there was a There was a building inside the court that consisted of two rooms. The holy place, which had in it the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and the golden lampstand, right? Where only the priest could go. And then beyond that was another room, which was called the most holy place, where only the high priest could go one time a year. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was, with the mercy seat and the cherub, where the presence of God dwelt, right? Anybody could come to the outer court, any of the Jewish people. But in front of the holy place, out in the courtyard, was the brazen altar to make sacrifices, and the brazen laver where the priest would wash himself, right? And so here we have gates in the outer court, and we read last week, we come through his gates with thanksgiving, right? Through his courts with praise. All you've got to do is be thankful to God to come into the court area. But to go into the next room, in other words, to go through the next door, there were two requirements placed. The brazen altar and the brass laver. Both of those representing the sacrifice of Jesus and the cleansing provided by His blood. He was the Passover lamb. He was represented by every animal sacrificed and the blood shed upon that altar, right? And the cleansing of the brass laver, which was supposedly of brass without measure. They couldn't weigh it. 10 feet in diameter. Held a lot of water. Represented the infinite cleansing available through the blood of Christ. So to go into the holy place as a priest, you had to first be qualified by having that sacrifice applied to your life, and by going through the cleansing process of the laver. Then you could go through the next gate. See, the first gate was the courtyard. But go to the next gate required application of some spiritual, processes in your life. But once you got in the holy place, there's another gate or door facing you. The veil was in that doorway, right? And to go into that place, you had to be the high priest only once a year, then with the shedding of blood, and you've got three other requirements. The golden lampstand, the table of showbread, and the altar of incense, all representing the light of the world, prayer, and the bread of the word. And that qualified the high priest to go into that most holy place, but there are three doors represented. What I want to let you know is there's doors represented we go through. Some will go through the first door to go to church, but others will go through the salvation step and really get saved. And others will go beyond that door and apply themselves to tithing and sowing seed and confessing the word and forgiveness to go through following doors after that, to go deeper and deeper into the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in the building of the tabernacle, Exodus 36. It says, let's go to verse number 37. And he made a hanging for the tabernacle door of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of needlework. Here's the veil. In fact, other descriptions talk about the veil being layers of animal skins knit together. So it was very heavy and very strong. And that veil, the scripture lets us know, represented the very flesh of Jesus, separating us from the holy place and the very glory of God, the presence of God. Now, first of all, Scripture says the veil is representative of the flesh of Jesus. I don't know about you, that used to confuse me. How would the flesh of Jesus keep us from the presence of God? But He was the Word made flesh. So it wasn't actually His flesh that stands in our way, it was the Word. And nobody could go into the presence of God because nobody could fulfill the requirements of the Old Testament law. And that word stood between us and the very Shekinah glory of God. Living in that presence, we couldn't go through that veil. But Scripture says, when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn in two. Representing the weight of the presence of God was now made available through His sacrifice. But I want to tell you, you can go as deep into that presence as you want to go. You can stick, you know, one foot in and say, well, I went in. You follow me? Or you can step in with your whole body. Or you can go just beyond the entryway and go as deep in as you want to go. But every time you go a step further, will have something to do with the Spirit of God revealing to you other gateway decisions you need to make. And if you'll choose wisdom, you'll go in. And I'm going in. And I don't care the price, do you? I'm so glad Jesus went to the cross. I don't have to do that. I don't have to be martyred. But whatever else I can do to position myself for the glory, I want to do it. Amen. Here's an interesting aspect. Once you get that revelation that you can go into the glory of God as deep as you want to go, sin will become a non-issue in your life. Because you won't want to entertain anything that would hinder you from going in. Do you follow me? Cares of this life won't have any hold on you because you don't want anything to hinder you from going in. Now, with what time I have left, let me explain this very quickly as well. Do you remember that when Jesus was on the cross and he died, they came to break the bones of the other prisoners, and they came to him and he found that he was already dead? So to make sure he was dead, they took a spear and plunged it into his side, and out came water and blood, hit the earth, right? Well, think about this. If the veil was his flesh, and we had no access to the Holy of Holies, to be in him, because the Bible says we're in him when we're saved, right? To be in him, we couldn't get through because the flesh stood in the way. But when the spear penetrated his side, because he'd already paid the price through his death, and blood and water came and touched the earth, if we will allow that blood and water to touch us, it will redeem us from the curse of the world, allow us to go through the veil, which is his flesh, and now we're going through that hole the spear made, and we're now in him. And when you're in him, you can do what he did. You can have what he had, and you can manifest the glory he manifested on the mountain of transfiguration. Did we cover that too quickly for you? That veil of the tabernacle has been severed. It's been split in two. Two big angels each grabbed a corner and ripped that thing in two. And now nothing for those that want to go in can hinder us from going in deep into God's presence. But you've got to want it. Amen? So again, each door of the tabernacle, courtyard, the holy place, the most holy place, each door required different responses to go through. But every time you went through another door, you stepped into another level of God's presence. In the courtyard, everything was made of brass. But in the holy place, it was made of gold. And in the most holy place, it was made of gold, and there was a cloud of God's presence in that most holy place. The deeper you go, the more the blessing of God you step into. Lift up your head, O you gates, be you lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Thank you, Jesus. Did you get anything out of this? Well, listen, I'm excited where God's taking us in this teaching. And I can see in your eyes, He's raising up a people that want to go in. Good to not be alone. Amen? Father, seal the word in us. Cause us to be people of great hunger, great desire for the things of the kingdom. That we lay aside every distraction, every weight that would hinder us from the run we're to run. We thank you, Father, you take us by the crying out of the Spirit of God within into the fullness of your glory. We thank you, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you. Otherwise,